Morning Conversation on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A presentation of Sydney Senior Services, where they never charge for their service.
And good morning, Jim Bohannon, a nationwide talk show host. You hear him every weeknight for about a decade and a half that he's been on News Radio 1240 KQAN, but been on a lot longer. Jim joining us. Jim, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Kyle.
Well, good to have you back on. We talked just a few weeks ago, but you were the first person I thought of when I came in Saturday morning. First email I saw was that Larry King, noted radio and television personality, had passed away. Talk about your relationship with Larry King.
Yeah, I was his backup. He did 15 years of nighttime radio, and I was his backup for the last 11 of those 15 years. In fact, that show has been mine now. This Friday will be the 28th year that I've been doing that show. So I got that gig, and in fact, I'm talking to you right now because of a mechanic who left a wrench in a rocket at Cape Canaveral. Trust me, this works, okay? Here's how it happened. I was working in Chicago at WCFL Radio, which was owned by the Mutual Broadcasting System, the predecessor to Westwood One Radio. And Larry King had just started his new nationwide show for Mutual Radio. So Larry came to Chicago to do the show from the lobby of the local Hyatt Hotel. Okay, they borrowed one of our engineers from WCFL to do the show. I found out that during the breaks, the engineer had told Larry how wonderful I was. Well, I thanked the engineer, thought nothing more about it. Now we come to November of 1981. Larry had to be off to give a speech or something. His backup at the time was Jim Slade, the space correspondent for Mutual, who later did the same thing for ABC Television. Well, this mechanic left this wrench in the rocket. Now, Jim was to cover the launch one night. The next night, he was to fill in for Larry. Well, the launch was delayed, and that was back when you covered every launch. So Jim Slade was stuck at Cape Canaveral. Who could fill in for Larry? And somebody said, what about this guy, Bohannon? And so that's why I'm here today. If I could find that mechanic, I would buy him a drink.
Wow, that's an absolutely incredible story. Now, during those years where you filled in for Larry King and did the weekend slot where he was on during the week, you guys were in different cities, though, or were you in the same place?
Oh, no, we were in the same place. We were both in Arlington, Virginia, which is one of the major suburbs of the nation's capital, right across the Potomac River and just down the street from the Pentagon. We were at the same location.
And how much time did you end up spending with Larry King?
A minimal amount. I would see him sometimes when I was come in and was doing the America in the Morning program when he was working. Then I would see him as he was leaving and I was coming in. Of course, when I was filling in for him, he was by definition off, and so I didn't see him all that much. But occasionally, we would run across each other in the office there. Occasionally, I would see him. Frankly, conventions, radio conventions. We might be in Las Vegas or Nashville or someplace, and I would see Larry more than I would in Washington.
When I was first, well, really probably prior to getting into radio at a very young age, I started listening to Larry King some late at night in Portland. I was a rock and roll kid. Wasn't really interested in talk shows, but something about Larry King was different, and it kind of pulled me in.
Yeah, Larry was different because of the fact that he just asked straightforward questions, and then he would actually listen to your entire answer. And too many people who are names, celebrities in entertainment or political big shots, they're used to two types of questions that they hate. The one type is the gotcha question. Yes, now for my next question, I'm about to make you look bad, no matter what you say. This is my gotcha question. And the other type is, I'm about to ask you a question. I'm going to take 30, 45 seconds to do it. Not that I need to, but the question is designed to show everyone how smart I am about your subject. Larry King did not ask gotcha questions, and he did not ask I am so smart questions. Larry King would ask people stuff like, why did you want to be a bus driver? That kind of question. The kind of questions ordinary people would ask. And I think that was Larry's secret. You know, Kyle, a lot of people put Larry down as asking softball questions. Well, I'll tell you something about those softball questions. He got answers where other people would get stony silence or maybe the guest wouldn't even bother to come on their program. Larry's approach got answers that other people didn't get, and that's really what an interviewer is supposed to do.
One of the passages I read from a book Larry King wrote, and maybe he wrote more than one book, but the one I've got somewhere around the house still, he talked about how hard it was to get certain guests sometimes, and people would say, if you ask that question, I'm hanging up on you. And yet, time after time, he would listen to them, let them talk about a number of things, and at some point would ask the question that they'd threatened to hang up if he asked, and then they'd answer it.
Yeah, Larry was the master of using a one-hour interview. That's what we usually get with guests, 1 hour. And you can do a lot of setting people up in that period of time. If you've got, let's say, 3 minutes, and there's one question you've got to ask somebody, you pretty much have to charge right into that question at some point. And if that question irritates them, then they may hang up. But if you've got an hour, you can massage them. You can schmooze them. Hey, how you doing? How's this? How's that? Here's a softball. Here's a softball. And we're 30 minutes into the show. And, oh, by the way, and here comes the question, worded nicely that they didn't want to answer. Well, but this time, they think they have rapport with Larry, and they'll answer the question. Larry knew how to use a one-hour interview so that people wouldn't be intimidated by answering the very question they didn't want to. There were many people left the King Show saying to themselves, I answered that question, didn't I? I really didn't mean to do that.
Yeah,
he was good at that.
Fascinating. And talk about his personal life, a bit on the colorful side.
Well, there were a number of aspects to his life that were colorful. Of course, he was married 9 times to 8 women, married one of them twice. He did not get along well in personal relationships. He once admitted that he was not by nature a monogamous individual, and that's an understatement. Larry also didn't deal with money terribly well. And he, in fact, got in financial trouble at one point, even legal financial trouble. He was charged with embezzlement. And so later in life, when he was making the big bucks, Larry worked on a deal with his agent, Bob Wolf, and the deal was Larry would not manage his money. All of Larry's paychecks would go straight to Bob Wolf, and his agent, Bob Wolf, would then pay Larry's bills, invest the money prudently, and give Larry an allowance, like an 11-year-old kid. And Larry could do with that allowance whatever he wanted to. Go bet on the horses. Larry loved to bet on horses, so you could pick some long shot nag in the fourth race, and if the horse comes in last, and he loses it all, so what? His net worth has dropped about 0.01%, and it worked very well. It was too bad, though, they couldn't have worked out some arrangement whereby Larry did a better deal of handling relationships with women, but he finally got the money thing down pat.
And one of the things I was intrigued about was his early life and some folks who became well-known for other reasons, and yet they were all kids that he grew up with in his neighborhood.
Oh, yeah. We had, in fact, on the program last night in the 9 p.m. hour here on KQEN, we had a little tribute to Larry. We talked with Herb Cohen, the author of the book You Can Negotiate Anything. And Herb and Larry and some of these kids grew up in the Bensonhurst section of Brooklyn, New York. And the stories are true. The Carvel's ice cream story, the Gil Mappo story, which both would take too long to tell here. But these stories, they happened. And these were just kids growing up in Brooklyn who knew each other. And I think most of the gang never really amounted to much in terms of fame. Herb Cohen did, and of course Larry obviously did. But, yeah, those stories, those were true stories for the most part, yeah.
And as I recall, one of those other kids was Sandy Koufax.
Well, that was an interesting story. Yeah, it turns out that Larry actually exaggerated that one a bit. And as we found out in later years, somebody once interviewed Sandy Koufax in later years, long after he had retired, and said, well, you grew up with Larry King, one of your real buddies. And Sandy spilled the beans. He said, well, you know, I've been told that. They went to a huge high school, like, you know, 22,000 kids or something like that. And Sandy was the big jock. And Larry was one of the people who kind of worshipped Sandy. Sandy didn't know Larry at all until much later in life when Larry had become a big-name interviewer. And so Larry kind of pretended that he was pals with Sandy. But in point of fact, Sandy didn't know who Larry King was in high school.
Interesting. Well, how do you think the broadcasting industry benefited from Larry King for all those many decades?
I think it benefited in a number of ways. He set the early tone for all of the talk on television, although it has since, of course, become much more bitter, much more partisan, much more throwing of sharp elbows. And also, he, I think, really proved that network radio still had a role to play. After television came around in the late 40s and early 50s, and all the network radio dramas and comedies, Jack Benny and Bob Hope and people like that, went to TV. Radio had to reinvent itself, and of course that meant spinning records. And network radio, that had one role, 5 minutes of news on the hour. Forget about it. Larry King was the first to prove that, yes, you could successfully still have network radio programs. And for that, I think we all owe him a great debt of favor because, quite frankly, today, network radio programs being much cheaper than hiring staff, and plus you tend to get pretty good quality hosts on the shows. That has become a staple now of local radio, is to have some network shows. Larry proved that was possible.
Well, Larry King definitely will be missed. Jim Bohannon, out of time for now, but Jim, thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
That was great fun, Kyle. Anytime, always happy to speak.
All right, 8:43 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.